He says they discomfited them. Yeah. They just rearranged them. They didn't destroy them. And the Lord knew that. So he told Joshua, he said, at the end of that battle, he said, I want you to sit down and I want you to write that the day will come, write it in a book, that the day will come that I will utterly destroy the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I don't want you to remember the former days. I got to get rid of these people. And so as we fast forward tonight in the story, in Israel's journey, we find that Israel gets them a king, right? King Saul, their first king. King Saul was charged by Samuel to go and destroy who? Amalek. He said, I want you to go and I want you to be the guy. You wanted a king? Let's fight fair. And you go down there. Now listen to what he told him. I want you to go down there, King Saul, I want you to destroy Amalek. Everything. And he used the word utterly destroy. I'm telling you, he said, destroy man, destroy woman, destroy child. He probably said destroy the dog, the cat, and if you see a mouse, step on him. Step on a roach. I don't want nothing alive. I don't want no memory of Amalek and how he fought against Israel. I'm ready to move on. I want to do a new thing, but I can't do a new thing as long as we keep facing the old things. And what did he do? He goes down there and he comes back and he meets Saul. And Samuel. And he says, have you done the will of the Lord? He said, I have. You see what happens when you save souvenirs? I have. Well, what's that I hear? I hear the bleating of the sheep. Oh, the people. Blame somebody else. It's not my fault. The people wanted me to save the best of the sheep and the oxen for sacrifices. Well, who's that? Well, that's King Agag, the king. I saved him as a souvenir. He said, give me your sword. And he carved his souvenir up right before Israel. He said, now listen close. He said, because you saved, and I'm going to call it this souvenir will destroy you. Are you getting my point tonight? Because you held on to a memory of the past, that memory will destroy you. The memory will destroy you. So Saul didn't do it either. He killed a lot of them, but he didn't kill everything. God gave Saul the power to destroy, not just to defeat, but to destroy. I'm here to tell you, God don't give you the Holy Ghost just to speak in tongues. He gives you the Holy Ghost because he gives you the power to destroy. He gives you the power to overcome and to be more, not just a conqueror, more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Oh, hallelujah. My. The Holy Ghost is like one of those ships. They call it a destroyer, right? They don't carry cap guns on that ship. Pellet rifles. It's a destroyer. The Holy Ghost wants you to destroy everything that plagues you from living for God. So King Saul saved his souvenirs, and his souvenirs came back to haunt him. And anytime we hold on to the past will stay with us. And you cannot go into your future until you deal with your past. So he said, I don't want you to remember the former days. I want to do a new thing. Get rid of all the old things. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Much like Elijah came to Elisha, right? And he's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And he was the 12th. Just a plow boy. Just a common old Joe out there plowing. But the Lord told him, before you leave this life, you're going to go find the man called Elisha and anoint him to take your room or your place. And he goes out and he finds him. And he casts his mantle upon him. And he said, to follow me. And he said these words, give me time and I'll be back. There's some things I got to kill. He left Elijah that day. He went home and kissed his mother and father and killed the oxen. Why?
That used to be what he did. I used to plow with these. He took the instruments of the yokes and the wooden things, that the harnesses, and stirred the pot with it. And they ate those oxen. Now, let's go, because I got nothing to go back to. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? If you want to do something for God, you can't have anything to go back to, like Peter did with that last boat, right? I'll follow you, Lord. I'm with you. They may all forsake you, but not I. I'm going to be with you, Lord. And then what did he say? I go a-fishing. Well, how are you going fishing if you don't have a boat? You've got to get rid of all the things of the past so God can bring new people into your life. New things into your life will not happen as long as it's muddied with the past. My. After Saul's failure, we see another king arrives. His name is David. And King David, in my mind, did a lot of worse things than Saul. However, King David was anointed in Saul's stead. And we find today, did you know that God can even take your mistakes and make good things come out of them? You learn from your... Yeah, you do. David was distraught. He had been anointed to be king. It didn't look like it was going to happen. He even went out to fight against King Saul. They had given him a city. The Philistines gave him a city called what? Ziklag. And there he headquartered out of there. And he went to go fight in a battle against his former master, King Saul. And when he got there, one of the other men that was going to be in the battle recognized David, and he turned to the king. He said, what's he doing? He said, well, he's going to fight with us. He said, don't you know who that is? That is the guy that killed that giant. And you know what? You know, that was a Philistine. He said, you know what? He may get in that valley and reconcile with his master and turn on us. He can't fight. So they sent him home. David's going home, head down. He had done wrong. He comes home and he looks up, and what does he see coming out of Ziklag? Smoke. He gets there, and guess what's not there? Women, children, and certain men. The same thing that King Saul had destroyed is now missing out of Ziklag, and it's David's. And the 600 men that were so valiant and followed him all this time now thinks of stoning him. And David sat down someplace by himself, called Abathar for the ephod. He said, I got to pray. You know, it's time to pray. I don't know why we wait sometimes till it's like that, but that's what we do, and it's time to pray. And so he says, Lord, I forgot to tell you, who attacked him? Who attacked him? Ziklag, the Amalekites. Oh, that's right. It was the same ones that Joshua fought, that the Lord hated. It's the same ones that King Saul couldn't. And now, you see what happens? You want your kids to face the same enemy you're facing? You want your children's children to face the same enemy? It's got to be destroyed. And so he comes back, and everything he loves is gone. I mean, wives are gone, children are gone, their wives are gone, their children are gone. Everybody's mad at him. So he prays, Lord, what should I do? Should I pursue or should I forbear? Should I just sit here and let them stone me? And the Lord said, get up and pursue, and surely thou shalt recover all. David got up that day a determined man. I'm going to get back my stuff. I'm going to get back what the enemy has stole from me. Now, I want you to understand, that's not getting ahead. That's getting even. That's just getting even. I'm going to get that back. Little did he know, and I'm going to come back to my story. Little did he know, while he was over there pursuing his stuff, King Saul died in that battle. On the other side of that mountain, his master died, and it was his time to be the king. It was his time to be the king. And so he's over there, they're going to go get his stuff. And the Bible says, as they come tonight, the Bible says that, you see, those Amalekites, they fought their weakness. What did they take? The women and the children. I'm here to tell you, the devil will wait. He's patient. He'll wait till you're weak, and then he comes. When did he tempt Jesus? After he had fasted 40 days, and then he hungered, and then he showed up. If thou be the Son, he's going to attack you in your weakness. You've got to get rid of him. He can't attack you if he's not there. He can't tempt you with things of your past if it's destroyed. The Bible says that David smote Amalek and his men from the twilight evening to the evening of the next day. He said, and not a man escaped. David recovered all. David messed up. I've messed up. You've messed up. We've all messed up. But one thing I can do is quit going back and reminding myself of how I messed up. I can't go on if I keep reminding myself. Let me tell you, you reminding me won't bother me like me reminding me. You reminding me won't bother me because that's what carnal people do. But when I remind myself, it hurts me far worse. So he said, I want you to remember I'm the Lord, I'm the God, I brought you this far. And I want to take you to new places. But I can't take you to new places as long as you keep remembering I shouldn't have done that. Are you with me tonight? David, kill the memory of Amalek. Kill the memory of the past and went on to great victories. David went on and grew great. You can't go on and grow great with the things of the past still haunting you and taunting you. Amen. It's interesting to me as I close. You know, a man came to Jesus and the Lord said, he said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. And the Bible said, he willing to justify himself. That's a bad sign when you want to justify yourself. Willing to justify himself, he said, and who is my neighbor? He said, well, let me tell you like this. A certain man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And fell among thieves. They robbed him and they stripped him and they left him half dead. Listen close. One enemy right there. It's not his neighbor. It's his enemy. Then along come a priest. Oh, surely. Surely. The Bible says that the priest came and saw him and went on the other side. Enemy number two. Then come a Levite out of the priesthood. And he went and looked upon him. Enemy number three. Along came a half-breed, mixed breed, half this and half that, called a Samaritan. He didn't just look on him, honey. He bound up his wounds. Poured his own oil into his wounds, put him on his own animal, took him to an inn and gave him a place to stay, told the host, he said, when I come back, if he owes anything else, just let me know, I'll pay it. A friend. A neighbor. Three foes and one friend. Well, you might say, why am I saying that? Because Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering together or you're scattering abroad. So I said that to say this. We can define our neighbors real easy. Why don't we define our enemies? You define your enemies by those that aren't your neighbor. Those that are not neighbor to you will hurt you. Those that are neighbor to you will pick the trash up out of the yard, straighten up your garbage can and not knock it down. The good neighbor is going to encourage you and not tear you down. The priest, the thief, and the Levite was an enemy to this man because they left him half dead when they could have done something about it. So sometimes we get busy defining our neighbors. How about let's define our enemies? You got to know who your enemies are if you're going to fight. Kill the memory. Would you stand tonight? Kill the memories. I don't want you to forget I'm God. I don't want you to forget how I brought you out of this world. I want you to remember where you were at, but I want you to forget what was done to you.